Welcome to 1514, a podcast of the Biblical Counseling Coalition, where we draw from the words of Romans 15:14 to encourage all Christians that they are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to counsel one another. I'm your host and director of the Biblical Counseling Coalition, Curtis Solomon. Welcome back to 1514. Thank you for listening or watching online. If you're watching at our website, biblicalcounselingcoalition.org. And if you are subscribed to our podcast, thank you very much for that. We encourage you to tell others about this podcast and spread the word so that more people can be blessed by it. This week, I have the pleasure of hosting Jeremy Lelick, who is the president of the Association of Biblical Counselors. He's also the president of Metroplex Counseling. He's a licensed professional counselor in the state of Texas, where he earned his master's degree in counseling and a bachelor's degree in psychology. And he earned his PhD at Regent University. Jeremy speaks in various churches and other organizations and helps teach Equipped to Counsel, the curriculum that ABC uses. He's married to Lynn. They have four children, and he is here with us today. So Jeremy, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So Jeremy, why don't you start by introducing us to yourself and your family a little bit?
Well, as you said, I am a counselor here in the DFW area, and I also have the privilege of working with the Association of Biblical Counselors and equipping different people all over the country and in the work of biblical counseling. I've been a counselor licensed for about 18 years now, and I'm married to my beautiful wife, Lynn, and her and I met at Liberty University many years ago. She is from New York, and before we ever even met, she decided that she was going to come down to Texas with a bunch of her friends and do nursing down here. So she ended up in my home state, which was fine with me. And we ended up getting married, and we have four wonderful children. Aaron, who is a 16-year-old, Caleb, who is 13, Hannah, who is 10, and Eden, who is 7.
That's great. Well, nice little spread there with your kids, two teenagers and two preteens. So we'll be praying for you for sure.
You all need it.
So Jeremy, tell us a little bit about ABC, the Association of Biblical Counselors.
So ABC started up in 2003. I was working with someone else to develop the idea of ABC, and that person moved on. So I took it over in about 2005, and we're an organization. We started out just basically a website that was going to offer online counseling resources for people to just download and use in their counseling practice. But we have developed in our outreach in that we now not only provide members with various resources, but we also have developed a certification program with Dr. John Henderson using his curriculum, Equipped to Counsel.
That's great. We appreciate Dr. Henderson. He's on our board of directors, as well as you serving on our council board. I failed to mention that. We appreciate that, and excited that about that curriculum, the Equipped to Counsel. It's a great resource for churches to utilize. So when ABC began, what was kind of the catalyst that made you think we want to have this ministry as to provide these resources to people?
Well, I was very new in the biblical counseling movement, and we were just convicted that we needed to get this message into as many people's hands as possible. And so we thought a good way to do that would be to create a very robust website that would draw people in and introduce them into the world of biblical counseling. And one of the things that we did is, for membership, you don't really have to sign off on anything. We wanted to open the door for anyone that was interested to come in, and if they were curious, learn a little bit about what biblical counseling is. Because at that time, a while ago, this probably still exists, but at that time, a lot of caricatures about what we are in the biblical counseling world. And so we just had a wide open door to invite people in to see what we're about, but also to benefit from the resources that we were providing at the time and are still providing.
Yeah, unfortunately, sometimes those caricatures still exist about biblical counselors. And I think I heard even a year or two ago somebody reusing that phrase, you know, take two verses and call me in the morning is their summation of what biblical counseling is about. And clearly that's not the case. But so you said ABC got started around 2005, and it's grown quite a bit from what it originally was. What's the state of that ministry now?
And so, I mean, we've grown quite a bit just in terms of now we're able to host a national conference each year. We've done that, I think, since 2009, 2010. And that's just become a wonderful part of what we do, and people look forward to it each year. And we're also now starting not only the certification of people, but we're working with various churches throughout the country to create regional training centers in the spirit of, you know, teach this in your own church and then begin to invite others within your community, other churches within your community to come in and receive live training from one of our certified instructors. So we're doing a lot more of that. That's expanding quite a bit. And we have a wonderful international outreach with the country of Zambia, Africa, where we have worked with a single pastor. We started with him, but now they have trained literally hundreds of people in Zambia in equipped to counsel and how to apply biblical counseling to the specific struggles that are there. Got a report from the pastor, Peter, this week. Just they have now been recognized by the country of Zambia as an official organization over there, go into hospitals and to provide biblical counseling to people that are suffering with HIV, and just said that it's a message that they're not used to hearing over there. In their world, suffering is a curse, and we bring the biblical worldview in and just show them that for the believer, suffering is an instrument that God uses to draw us to himself.
Yeah. Wow. That's incredible. That's amazing opportunity for you all to be able to get into hospital. That's such a need. People who are really in a dire strait needing to hear the gospel and the hope and help that the word of God can provide. So you mentioned the training with Equipped to Counsel and the certification. Could you kind of walk through somebody who is going to be certified through ABC? What does that process look like?
Well, once you get to certification, you do have to fill out an application. We want to make sure that you're a good candidate for what we're going to be offering. Once you pass that certification process, there are several options. Some people just do an online option where they can register for the course, and they'll have complete access to that course for an entire year, and they can move at their own pace within that year to complete the certification. The curriculum itself covers just the foundations of biblical counseling, and then it moves into specific issues like marriage and depression. And then towards the end, there's a mini practicum where the student has to actually do some counseling, and they report that to us, and we give them guidance each session. I think they have to do 10 sessions initially, and we're working with them, giving them feedback. So that's one, the online option. The other option is very similar to what I mentioned a minute ago, where churches themselves, someone in the church goes through the online, and then they decide, hey, I want to be an instructor here and bring this to my church. And so folks, we have quite a few folks doing that as well.
And the Equipped to Counsel curriculum, it's already created, it's packaged, nobody has to recreate that. That's available to them. Is that available to people to purchase and utilize, even if they don't go through the course online or don't want to be an instructor, but just for their own personal edification?
That's a wonderful question. Absolutely. A lot of people that purchase Equipped to Counsel and go through it are not going through the certification process, but they're going to be exposed to some great material. And one of the unique things about our certification is we've been privileged to partner with the CCEF. Every single chapter of Equipped to Counsel has corollary reading, which is drawn from the Journal of Biblical Counseling, seminal articles throughout the years that we think every single person doing this should read through. And so CCF has created a bundle, a journal bundle, just for Equipped to Counsel. Mm-hmm. So that anyone has access to that. And if you wanted to just go through it and be enriched in your own life and ministry, that's absolutely an option.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I think that I really appreciate the joint effort there. And that's really what the BCC is about and stands for, is collaborative effort amongst the different biblical counseling organizations and people. And it's great to hear that cooperation with CCF there. And that's fantastic. So what's the makeup of members or counselors in ABC? Where are they ministering? Where do they counsel? Different certifications or licenses that people that are a part of ABC might have?
Yeah. The vast majority of our membership is going to be lay counselors, people that are just wanting to serve within their churches, ministry leaders who do small groups and things of that nature. We have quite a few pastors, but I would say the vast majority is laity. One of the things that I'm fairly passionate about is to get the licensed professional more acclimated to what we do. I went through 3 evangelical schools all the way through PhD, and I don't recall having a single class on how to use the Bible in counseling. Mm-hmm. And so I do have a burning desire in my heart to fill that gap, because I know that when I went to those schools, that's what I was hoping to get. And we get calls all the time from the various universities and seminaries around here in Dallas-Fort Worth, where students have enrolled in those programs, but again, haven't really received a whole lot of training. So we're hoping to draw more counselors into our membership. And we actually have a great opportunity where Regent University is seriously considering, they reached out to me, considering to work with us to create an MA, non-licensure counseling degree that would basically be equipped to counsel, beefed up just a bit. So that's a whole new demographic of people that it's going to be exciting to bring them into our world, because they probably never heard of most of the guys that we read, study.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That's one of my passions with the BCC and being a lifetime learner, so to speak, just the value of getting into academic institutions. And it's interesting because that's happened quite a bit with different institutions that have been teaching straight psychology or integration. They're starting to see a hunger and a desire for people to counsel within the church, separate from licensure and even offering degree programs that are like that. So that's great. I'm glad to hear that you guys will have that opportunity. One of the things you being a licensed practitioner and having a number of people bringing it, specifically targeting that group of people so they can get exposed to biblical counseling. Like you said, you even earned a PhD and didn't really come to understand biblical counseling until towards the end of that program. Licensure is one of those things that can sometimes cause division among biblical counselors. What's your take on it? What's the value of it? Are there any drawbacks from being licensed?
So my take is that as long as a person can ethically, legally practice biblical counseling under a license, let's do it. One of the values for me personally is that we do have to recognize that we still have just an ethos within our culture where people go to professionals when they hit rock bottom and they don't feel safe to do it in the church. Unfortunately, there are a lot of churches. The biblical counseling movement is doing some amazing things, but there are still so many churches that don't feel that's our role. That's too much for us. We're not supposed to be in people's lives that deeply. That's unfortunate, but that's where our counseling center, at least here in DFW, and a colleague of mine, they have a center also. We're the guys that get to pick those people up who want solid biblical care, because I've heard countless stories, and I don't want to caricature anyone else, any other group, but I have heard countless stories where people went to a counselor that was licensed under the banner of Christianity and received anything but biblical care.
Yeah.
Our passion here as a licensed organization and licensed counselors is we want to be that organization, that ministry, that counselor that's going to get to see the person that won't go to their church or that's been referred out by their church. So that's a value in that we, at least we're out here in the community, as a professional organization, trying to give good care that's drawn from the scriptures.
Yeah, and that's specifically, you're talking about Metroplex Counseling, the counseling center that you oversee and offer counseling to anybody from the community who wants to come. And like you said, so you get a lot of people who don't, who wouldn't go to their church. I know as part of biblical counseling, you're trying to steer people, work with churches if they come from a church, and steer people back to a church if they're not from a church, that kind of thing. How do you navigate those waters with people when they come in for counseling?
Yeah. So another kind of mission that we have, at least here locally, is when we are referred, we do ask on our intake who referred you. And many, many times it's a church. And so we ask for that information. And then it is our mission to go out, contact these churches, build relationships with pastors that have never heard of biblical counseling, and begin to, and that's where ABC and Metroplex sort of segue a bit, because then we get to introduce them to biblical counseling. We get to introduce them to this idea that, hey, what about your church becoming a little more equipped? We actually have a curriculum. We'd like to introduce you to it. So we're actually, the counseling center is a venue that we are being connected with many, many churches that otherwise we might not even know we're on the radar. And we do take it very seriously that we want to at least put in front of them the idea that what's actually going on in counseling can be done right here in your own church.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So it's not just a ministry to the person coming to counsel, but it's actually an avenue to equip the churches that are sending them to you, and maybe to the point where they don't even send them to you anymore, that they actually handle a lot of those things in-house or in the church.
That does happen, yes. Yeah. Now, a drawback, you ask about a drawback. One of the couple of things, one drawback is, as a licensed person, your hands are a bit tied. You can't do life with the people that you're counseling. You know, you can't walk with them as closely as you could without a license, because ethically they would call that a dual relationship, and they frown on that. So that's a drawback. You know, you love the people that you're walking with, even as a licensed person. I do, you get close to them, but you still have to reside by some of the boundaries that the licensure puts in front of you. Another drawback, and one of the I train a lot of interns, and we have conversations telling them that, you know, there's going to come a day when we may have to turn this license in, because there are laws already on the books in California and I think New Jersey, where if a Christian minor comes in to me and wants to walk according to his faith and resist and fight against homosexual struggle, that if I offer that kind of counsel, that I'm now operating in illegal activity.
Yeah.
So that's a drawback that at some point, you know, that may come our way here in Texas. I do see it coming, probably. And we'd definitely have to totally rethink things at that point.
Yeah, that is one of the things we've talked about. And I just moved from California, and it was one of the big things that a lot of biblical counseling training steered away from licensure and said, you know, your hands are too tied. And that state in particular, but it has been interesting to see in different states, Texas in particular. I know in Alabama, licensed practitioners are a little bit more open and free to actually practice biblical counseling, as long as they're up front on their intake forms that's what they're offering. And that provides avenues that aren't really open to biblical counselors just in their church. So there's a give and a take there for sure. Yeah. But it's good too. It's important that we be aware of those laws and be on the lookout for what's coming down the pipe in that regard. And like you said, you may have to throw in the license at some point, but praise the Lord, it's not there yet. So,
yeah.
So tell me a little bit more about going back to ABC. I was really thankful to share at the ABC conference this past year. It was a blessing to be there with you and to learn more about your ministry there. What's the theme for next year look like, or how are things shaping up for next year's conference?
Great question. I want to pull up a document here so I can kind of look over some things. We are going to be restructuring the conference this year. John Henderson and I have been working since April to rethink things, and I'm not sure if we've talked to you yet, but we want you to be a big part of it this year. But we are really going to move into a pretty intense training emphasis in our conference. Up to this point, you know, we've drawn in some pretty big names and some great speakers, and it's been wonderful, and people are blessed by it. But we don't go really deep on a particular issue. The theme is still going to be called the council, because that's just what we want to put out there to the culture. But this next year, rather than having several big names just do a session, we are going to actually have a team of people working on 8 different tracks. And so when people come to the conference, there will be, I think, 4 plenary sessions, but they will have 8 sessions within that conference where they'll have to stay in the same track. For example, one of them will be on depression. One of the tracks will be introduction to biblical counseling. And we're getting a team of 2 to 4 of our colleagues that we respect highly to work together, to collaborate, to form that track. And so when attendees come this next year, they're going to be getting a heavy dose of training that goes pretty deep. And that's something we have heard. You know, we have several professors that bring students and other professors that are kind of new to biblical counseling. And they say, we love it, but sometimes it doesn't feel like we're going very deep and we wouldn't know how to practice this in an actual counseling situation. So I'm very excited about the change, and we're looking forward to what all of the different speakers produce in as a means to equip the attendees.
Yeah, I think that's a really great, I know you and John both shared with me kind of the vision of those tracks, and that you would spend an entire time focusing on one. And I really appreciate that. My dissertation and my research is in post-traumatic stress. Yes. And a lot of, so whenever I go to a conference, I want to hear the speaker on post-traumatic stress. And a lot of times you spend the first 10, 15 minutes just reviewing the basics of it. And if that's really an interest of yours and you've already been exposed to it, that first 10 or 15 minutes of that 45 minutes or hour is kind of wasted. Because you've heard it 15 times at 15 different conferences. So this idea of really digging in and sticking to one topic for up to 8 hours, I think I'm really excited to see how that plays out. So thanks for doing that. And it'll be interesting to see. That triggered in my mind another thought. You guys are able to offer continuing education credits to students in your program as well, right?
That's correct.
So is that what kind of what programs does that satisfy continuing education credits for?
So certification students for ABC are required to do continuing ed. So obviously they're included there. Right now, if you're a licensed professional in the state of Texas, we are approved by the state of Texas, ABC, to offer continuing ed for the licensed practitioner. And in other states, we're not certified at this point, but a lot of states will honor the Texas CEUs. We are working on more of a national front, so that anyone from the United States that's licensed that wants to get CEUs would be recognized if they came to the conference and attended.
That's really great. That's an opportunity for people so they can get real biblically driven content that counts as a continuing education for their secular license. But also, I think it's a good standard that you have with ABC requiring your certified people to get continuing education. It's so important for us to continue to learn and continue to be sharpened. And it's easy sometimes to get stuck if we're not challenged to do that. So thanks for doing that. It's really great. So let me ask you this. What would you, when I was in college and seminary, we talked a bit about Getting training in counseling before getting training in Bible was a little bit like putting the cart before the horse. Mm-hmm. For somebody like yourself or somebody else who is in your shoes, where you're going through getting training, all this training in psychology and counseling, how do you encourage them to bolster, especially when you turn the corner a little bit and you realize, oh man, this biblical counseling is a different paradigm of looking at things. What advice would you give to somebody on how they can bolster their knowledge of Scripture to ground their counseling in the Bible?
It's wonderful. You know, definitely John's Equipped to Counsel is a great guide to connect theology to counseling. I mean, this might sound old school, but I think when I was thrust into this world, it was sort of by accident. Where I went to do my practicum, I knew nothing about biblical counseling. And at the end of my master's degree, I knew nothing about it. Just so happened to land in a counseling center where they were hardcore biblical counseling. And so I just got thrown into the deep end. But I remember reading A Theology of Christian Counseling just to get my mind wrapped around how in the world is the Bible even relevant. And I remember reading about justification and sanctification and thinking, what does this have to do with counseling? So if you're coming from a place like where I came from, just learning the theological ideas of justification and sanctification, and recognize, you know, that gives you categories to begin to understand human nature, to begin to understand the process of change. And then I just read as much as I could get my hands on because I hit the ground running. I mean, I started seeing people right when I joined the practice and I was expected to do biblical counseling. So finding a good book and Equipped to Counsel does that. A Theology for Christian Counseling, Heath Lambert's book, I can't remember the title, his new book, on biblical counseling, Introduction to Biblical Counseling, something like that. Those I think are great to dip your toe in the water of just the biblical categories that correlate with Scripture, which then help you utilize Scripture in a way that honors the Scripture.
That's good. Yeah. Just challenge people to read. Obviously if people are getting their license, they're probably having to read a lot anyway. So just mix in some biblical theology and just Bible too. That's great.
What happens, I think, is if we don't do that, we'll tend to fall into that proof texting thing that when you don't know what to do. And biblical counseling isn't that. It's a system of care. And so getting your hands on a good theology book, I think, would be helpful.
Yeah.
Wayne Grudem stuff, John Frame, any of those guys.
Yeah, just a good background in theology. So, Jeremy, just to give people a perspective, could you tell us just the different, when somebody's getting a license, I was kind of shocked by how many hours of counseling you have to do before you're even able to be licensed. Could you tell somebody what that process looks like?
So in your master's program, before you graduate, you have to have 300 hours of practicum experience. Half of that has to be face-to-face. After that, you have to apply with the state for a temporary license, having met all the criteria necessary through your master's program. Once you start your internship, you have to then get 3,000 hours of supervised experience, half of which has to be face-to-face.
Wow.
And during that process, you have to find a state-approved supervisor. And I do that because I want to train young people in biblical counseling that are getting their license. And then you have to meet with that supervisor for an hour a week and go over cases and talk about the experience and the journey of developing as a counselor.
Yeah, that's quite a bit. One of the reasons I want to highlight that is just the intensity of it. And for people who maybe look at licensure as a handicap or maybe something that's not valuable, if God's brought somebody through, you know, you're talking 3,300 hours or whatever of counseling, that's a lot of experience. That's a lot of case wisdom that you can bring. Obviously, if somebody's never thought about it in a biblical framework, needing to restructure some of that might be necessary, but it's just a value that and a challenge, I think, for biblical counselors to think about how much counseling we do and to not complain about the number of hours that different biblical counseling certifications require. So yeah, thanks for sharing that.
It takes our interns about 2 years to get that.
Yeah.
Or just under, but it's a long process.
But 2 years of 3,000 hours, that's a lot of counseling even in a day in those 2 years. So yeah, that's intense. Well, I do reserve the last couple minutes of our time together for something I call 2-minute favorites. You ready for that?
Sure.
So I'm going to start a timer and then I'm just going to throw out favorite items and you tell me what your favorite thing is. All right.
Okay.
Here we go. So what is your favorite food?
I would say probably pizza.
All right. What's the favorite gift you've ever received?
This may sound like a bit of a different answer, but I would say the greatest gift I've ever received outside of Christ is my wife.
Hmm.
Wonderful gift.
How about the greatest gift you've ever given?
Greatest gift I've given, I hope, to this point is just being an involved, compassionate, loving, kind, caring father.
Hmm. And what's your favorite word?
Grace, maybe.
How about least favorite word?
Maybe hate.
Favorite book of the Bible?
Romans.
Favorite non-biblical book?
Non-biblical book. Like a book that's not about scripture?
No, the book that's not the Bible. Yeah.
Oh, book that's not the Bible. Okay. Let's see. Oh, you stumped me there. I'll tell you one that just changed my life. It's dated quite a bit, but The God Who Is There, and He is there and He is not silent, and Escape from Reason by Francis Schaeffer.
All right. Favorite color?
Green.
Favorite candy?
You know, I don't eat candy. That sounds odd, but I don't eat candy or ice cream. I see that on your...
No. Favorite sport?
Basketball.
Favorite sports team?
There's two of them, the Golden State Warriors and the Boston Celtics.
Well, not the Spurs. Okay. Favorite quote.
You are saved by the finished work of Christ plus nothing. Schaeffer.
Hmm. Favorite beverage.
A tall glass of iced tea.
All right. Well, that wraps up our 2 minutes there. So thanks for that. Wow.
Absolutely.
Jeremy, it's been a real pleasure talking with you today. Thanks for your time and look forward to talking to you again in the future.
Thank you, Curtis. God bless you and all you're doing, man.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of 1514. If you'd like to know more about the Biblical Counseling Coalition, please visit our website at biblicalcc.org. You can also follow us on Twitter at biblicalcc or find us on Facebook, facebook.com/Biblical Counseling Coalition. Thanks again for listening.